Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. I'm going to talk in this weird high-pitched voice for the entire episode to annoy everybody. It's time to talk about Australia, recap it as best we can. I don't think there's really too much else to get to. And yeah, I think that'll be it for this week. Next week, we'll preview Imola's in a week and a half, right? Sweet.
Yep, Imola.
So,
and we have a sprint race.
All right, so we can whine about how much I'm not looking forward to that next week. I don't have trivia. I literally don't have trivia. I didn't Google anything. I'm still foggy brain from being in California for IndyCar. So we can blame Los Angeles and my dislike for the city for no trivia.
It can be a race week thing or something. We can change the
policy change. Okay. Frenchie approved.
If you want.
We'll skip it this week mainly because I'm not going to look it up and look for a question now. But Australia, let me ask you first. Did you watch any of the practices, qualifying, or race live?
Yes. I believe I watched FP1. Anything that was at 11 p.m. Eastern, I watched live. But anything sort of past the midnight time, I didn't stay up.
So I didn't watch any of practice, only because that was travel day for me. I watched 10 minutes of qualifying and fell asleep. And then Kevin Dejewski and I watched the race, and I made it until about right whenever Verstappen retired is when I was like, okay, I'm going to watch the rest of the race in bed because I like can't hold my head up anymore. And the second half of the race, I made it to like literally four laps to go and I fell asleep. So like when I woke up Sunday morning before the race, I was like, at that point, like I know I didn't miss anything because I looked at the final results. I'm like, okay, one thing changed, but it was very minor. So yeah, but I just, thankfully F1 TV had that screen that was like, your program has ended when I woke up. So I just like rewound it a little bit and like went back and watched rewatched like the last like 10 laps just so I could like kind of remember what I was doing. Cause like, you know, at that point you're not really retaining anything. But if you were to give the race like a grade from a 1 to a 10, 1 being the worst race ever, 10 being the most memorable race of all time, what would you give it?
I don't know, a 5, I guess. 5 or 6, yeah, probably.
I think that's fair. There were some good battles, and the new cars look amazing on Australia. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the camera angles or going through the kind of city streets there look really cool. But the race itself was kind of a snoozer.
Which we're kind of used to from Australia, to be honest. I mean, it's not a race where there's a lot of side-to-side battling and passing and everything. So even though we have these new cars, it pretty much was the status quo there. Bring back Adelaide.
Yeah, if only. I don't think that'll ever happen, but we can dream, right?
No, it's been so long.
Well, no, we can't dream because as you, me, and Cassie found out when we post things on Twitter, like dreaming of something cool happening in racing, people will just dump all over our opinions.
True. Somebody will find a reason to hate on the Adelaide street circuit, even though
Sydney. Melbourne, wherever the hell. Okay, let's just move on.
All right.
What do we have next?
So I was just going to get into a couple items in the news. There's not much. Talking about Australia, the news that we have from Red Bull on why Max had to retire on, I believe it was lap 38. Yes, for a fuel leak. They haven't said much. I mean, we don't really expect them to, I guess, but apparently Helmut Marko has said the case is very complex and that they've been able to find out the cause, but that the problem is absolutely different from the one they experienced in Bahrain where they had another retirement.
I mean, I believe him. For once, I actually believe Dr. Helmut, but I mean, it's not looking... I think my prediction for a Red Bull Constructors title is going the way of your McLaren prediction.
No, it's never going to be that bad.
Yeah, it's not good, man. I mean, there's a lot of there's a few teams this year, like them and Alpine, who are like lightning quick, but have huge question marks in reliability. And I feel like you can tweak aero stuff and you can tweak engine stuff to a smaller degree. You can change the weight of the car, all those things you can improve on. But reliability, I mean, Alpine got, you know, very unlucky with a $2 like hose thing failing on Alonso's car. Was that, you know, that's the, you can't overcome that, but reliability is going to hurt them in the grand scheme of the season.
Yeah. I think I remember talking to you before the season started about a quote that Laurent Rossi, the CEO of Alpine, made about how he wanted an engine that was fast and he didn't care if it was reliable as long as it was fast, which I think when we discussed that, we were both looking at each other like, even if it's fast, yeah, if you don't finish,
what good is that?
Nothing's going to
still look like an ass at the end of the season anyway, when you finish behind, you know, 3, 4, 5 other teams. I'm not saying Red Bull will, but I mean, it's kind of close.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not good. The Alpine, like you said, does look quick in a straight line, though.
It's a fast car. Like they did it. They built it well. It's just not reliable. And I think I don't know if we're you might see them luck into a win, sort of like Ocon did last year. But I don't think they're going to contend for podiums for the most part if they can't figure out a reliability thing, because, you know, they'll have to slow down to cool the engine or whatever, and it's just gonna hurt them all year.
Well, yeah, especially because they're the only ones using that engine, so they don't have any other data to go on for developmental purposes.
Yeah.
So I don't think Alonso's getting his third championship this year.
No, yeah, safely no say chance. That.
All right. So talking of teams who did pretty poorly over the weekend, Aston Martin, I think, had one of the worst weekends in recent memory. Like, it was calamitous.
I feel bad for Sebastian Vettel. He was clearly pushing this weekend to make up for lost time. You're missing the first two races and just trying to do what he can with that car, because his lap times weren't bad. I don't know if you saw somebody post on social media, like sector times, comparing him to the podium finishers, and he was right there. I mean, a tenth off, a tenth quicker in some laps, but when your car is as unpredictable and garbage as their car is, you make one wrong move, and you see what happens. He goes into the wall at a spot where you don't usually spin and hit the wall head on.
Yeah, it was kind of odd to see that. But the real moment that stands out to me is the crash between Lance Stroll and Nicholas Latifi in what was that, FP3?
Yeah.
That was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And I like how they were both so angry at each other. Just seeing two angry Canadians all fired up about it when Canadians are usually pretty polite was pretty amusing.
Yeah, I hate Lance Stroll. He's really garbage. That was mean. That was unnecessarily mean. Lance Stroll's just not good, and if you put him in a good car, he's probably respectable. But you put him in a car that's as bad as this year, and he might end up down with Latifi at the end of the year.
I had a dream, actually this is weird for me to even mention, but that he came over to IndyCar and it didn't go well.
That would be funny.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up from the dream like, oh, I'm even being mean to Lance Stroll in
weren't there, like, subconscious motto to IndyCar rumors like 5, 6 years ago? Like, I feel like this would be like the same level of like, oh God, please no.
I don't think you would get that warm of a welcome.
No, not at all.
What do you think we should start keeping track of? What do you think the Lawrence Stroll rage meter is at right now?
I don't know if it could get any height. He must like literally must have had like 3 heart attacks already. If he was mad after the first race or like during the first race and like blew a gasket on his team, how like two races later and you have nothing to show for it and no hope of anything to show for it. Yikes.
How long until, I think in my dream, how long until he sells the F1 team because he just gets fed up with it and buys an IndyCar team because he thinks Lance can win over here?
Well, I kind of want to see it. It might be torture. And I would be terrified to interview the man because he scares me. But I'm kind of for it. Yeah. I
mean, it would be interesting as hell.
We can have a super team in IndyCar with Lance Stroll and Nicholas Latifi, and we can call it the new, you know, when Hinch and Wickens had their Team Canada with Arrow a couple years ago, this can be like the new Team Canada, except like, you know, Team Lame or something, Team Dweeb.
Yeah, that would be a big demotion to call them Team Canada. There's got to be another Canadian driver in the pipeline coming up that could replace these guys.
I hope so.
We'll see. I don't know in the lower formulas if there is any Canadian driver coming up, but we got to be on the lookout for somebody to get rid of these two and supplant them as the hope of Canada in motorsports.
Yeah. But...
So apparently Mike Crack,
best name,
said that basically with the amount of incidents that they've had over the course of the season, he's wondering if they're going to have capacity to develop their car, which, as we saw, it's already pretty awful, or will they have to use their capacity to make spares? So do you think this weekend's going to put them even further behind the curve?
Yeah. They're screwed. Okay. I mean, if they get more than 5 points this year total, I would be completely surprised. It's just, and it's a shame because as soon as we saw that car at the beginning of the year, we're like, oh, that car's amazing looking. It's, and you just assume like amazing car, gonna do well and, or gonna do decent. And then as soon as they almost need to pull a Haas and just like stop working on the car this year and just immediately focus towards next year. It's a lost cause at this point. And unfortunately, we see with Haas that maybe kind of the year and a half reset actually does pay some benefits. Now, like, I'm not saying like Haas is a podium contender or whatever, but clearly the direction that Aston Martin took was the wrong direction. And I think they just need to accept it. And Lawrence Stroll just needs to take like a chill pill, a large chill pill, or have a drink and relax and just focus on the future, because they've got some smart guys there. They hired some good engineers and technical people from some of the big teams. So it's not like they're, you know, completely devoid of talent behind the scenes, but I mean, whatever path they took this year was incorrect.
Well, I mean, they just need to copy another Mercedes car, because we saw how well they did when they did that. So, I mean, it wouldn't be the best to copy a Mercedes this year, but, you know, they'd be in a better position than they are right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the last piece of news before we recap our predictions is that it's looking interesting for what's going to happen with Audi and Porsche coming to F1 in 2026 when the new engine regulations come in. Previously, what was thought is that both of them, because they're both under the Volkswagen umbrella, that both of them would kind of come in and share some engine development, and that Porsche's likely to partner with Red Bull as their engine supplier, and Audi was going to partner with some other team. It was rumored that it was going to be McLaren, but they'd share a lot of their engine development, and it would be cheaper that way. However, apparently, what we're hearing now is that Audi's basically saying, no, we're just going to come in totally separate from you, Porsche. We don't care how expensive it is. We also want full control of a team, and we want to buy one. So they've been in talks with basically every team in the paddock that's not a manufacturer team, right? So we're talking Williams, McLaren, Sauber, and Aston Martin, because Aston Martin, although they're still technically a manufacturer team, they don't make their own engines, right? Yeah. And Williams and McLaren, it doesn't seem likely that's going to happen.
No.
It was thought that that was going to be the path. Audi was going to buy McLaren, but I don't think McLaren wants to sell. That's a story name that I think it would be kind of sad to see Audi take over. So it's either Sauber, and we saw that they didn't want to sell to the Andretti's. Would they sell to Audi? Maybe. Or Aston Martin. That might be interesting because apparently Aston Martin is interested in developing in-house engines. And so maybe Audi could partner with them in that way, especially because they have so much cash already. They have the Aramco partnership, and then they have just Lawrence Stroll's endless bags of money that he keeps
Lawrence
pouring
Stroll's
into the
blood
team.
Diamonds.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing. Apparently a decision has been made because there was a meeting of the Volkswagen Group supervisory board last week. And so we'll learn, I guess these details will start leaking out slowly. I mean, we have until 2026 until any of this happens, but the Red Bull Porsche F1 deal seems likely to happen, and keep an eye out for who Audi is likely to buy. Obviously we know that Sauber used to be BMW's factory team, so maybe they'd be willing to sell to a manufacturer like Audi, and we'll keep a watch out for that. It'd be interesting. It might be a way to save that team.
Yeah, that's fair. It's hard to see where everything's going to kind of fit in right now, but I mean, McLaren's definitely not getting bought, and I feel like there's the only, listen, Audi could come in and tell Sauber, hey, we'll give you $600 million. You know, some like ridiculously astronomical number that nobody else could, you know, come up with. Yeah, sure. But between that and this Andretti program, and apparently there's a F2 team that wants to make the jump up, and another like random private team that isn't being publicly talked about. But yet the FIA is like, we don't need to expand the grid. And listen, I don't necessarily think all four or five of those teams need to come in and, you know, push the grid to 30 cars roughly. Like, yeah, that's definitely too much. But I don't know. It feels like, I feel like Audi wanting their own team isn't going to work out unless they're going to spend a buttload of money.
Well, they left Formula E, so maybe they have a ton of budget to just blow on this, even though they're also going to be an LMDH. So I have no idea what their plan is there or why two Volkswagen Group companies would compete against each other and kind of, you know, dump the money that it takes to be an F1 to take results off each other. But I don't know, these are storied brands that, I mean, Audi was in Formula One a long time ago, and Porsche has obviously been in F1, so it's in their heritage. It may end up happening. I think it'd be interesting. I was watching, I think, a race from the early 90s the other day, and there were like 26 cars on the grid. So it's not like it's a tradition for F1 to have only 20 cars or something like that. I mean, the FIA could easily just expand the grid, and I think it would be a good thing.
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted. Friend of the show. IndyCar co-host and PLPGP boss Matthew Hickey just called me, and Matt never calls me, so I'm wondering what's going on. But yeah, man, it's I'm okay with having the grid be like, what are we now, 20, 24? So we add two new teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. 26, maybe. 26 at like somebody somewhere like Monaco, it's just never going to happen. Like, that's just a total nightmare.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
Yeah, the cars are still too big.
So,
but I don't think this like elitist FIA attitude of we don't need any more cars. Like, I just think it sends the wrong message, and like it might not hurt them in the short term, but in the long term, if Andretti gets spurned and Audi gets, you know, maybe not Audi gets spurned, but these other teams get spurned, they're going to start looking at other forms of motorsport. You know, whether that be Formula E or NASCAR, IndyCar, you know, sports cars across the globe. So
e-scooter.
the future of Nicholas Latifi's future championship drive.
Yeah, Lucas Degrassi can hire him. All right, so let's, I guess, finish up real quick with just recapping our predictions, because although the race wasn't the best that we've seen, I still think it beats a lot of races we saw before the 2022 regulations came in. There were some decent battles that happened throughout the field. Actually, I want to get, who's your driver of the day?
Yeah, before we move on.
The weekend.
Thank you. I knew I forgot to tell you something. Or I knew we forgot something. We'll do driver of the day and all that fun stuff and look at our predictions. And then we will wrap up with whatever you were going to get to that I already forget about. Driver of the day, I am going to go with, the McLarens. I think this is one of the, and I know I said this to Kevin and everybody at the track this weekend, but McLaren's success is going to be purely dependent on what type of track they're at this year, because there are going to be races where they're still very bad. So they got them, you know, fifth and sixth is probably, you know, kind of like the best of the rest after, you know, Leclerc, Perez, and the Mercedes. And you could say that Verstappen would have been ahead of him too, and Sainz would have been right in the mix there if he didn't have his issue. But they got the maximum amount of points they probably could get for a while.
You bring up actually something that I meant to ask you about that just kind of jogged my memory. Do you think now that Sainz has had a terrible weekend and is behind in the points, that it makes it way easier for Ferrari to just say, all right, Charles is the number one driver now. Like, we're going to prioritize him for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And I think Sainz is a massively underrated driver, but he's not Charles Leclerc. Like, I think...
Okay, fair.
I think Sainz is in that Perez, Bottas... I can't believe I'm talking about Bottas in a positive way. You know, in that, like, put them on any team as a number two driver, and they will do everything they need to be successful and maybe eke out a win here or there. Like, I still would like to see Carlos Sainz win his first race, but he's not Charles Leclerc.
Okay, that's fair. So would you say that they're on the same level as like a David Coulthard?
No, still better than David.
I think he's one of the drivers with the most wins without a championship. Might be Sterling Moss is over him, I think. But yeah, anyway. Let's get to... So you said your drivers of the weekend were the McLarens. I'm going to go with Alex Albon, because as I was watching the race, I thought they were just going to not pit him.
Yeah, I was real confused when I was rewatching that in the morning.
And then they were just going to risk it, like, oh, hopefully we don't get disqualified. But, I mean, to drive around on those hards for, like, the entire race and grab a point, I love it. I mean, it's a good return to the points for Williams. especially when Latifi had an awful weekend and only finished 16th because the others that would have been in front of him retired.
Yeah, that's fair. Disappointment of the weekend. I'm going to take Carlos Sainz. He had a mix up in qualifying. I honestly forget what the issue was. I don't think it was totally his fault. And then some last minute scrambling with the steering wheel change, but really just not a good move to make in that middle sector of the track that ended up DNFing because he just beached himself in the sand. So really, like, at that point early in the race, you kind of just want to be patient and let things come to you because he would have picked up a couple spots easily. But yeah, that's not good.
Well, we saw Kevin Magnussen go off in basically the same place, and he was able to kind of scoop it back up and get going again. So yeah, Carlos kind of sealed his own fate there. My disappointment of the weekend is going to be Yuki. I don't know where he's been, but I mean, he finished 15th, a lap down, and was just extremely far off the pace of his teammate. So it's definitely not looking so good for him right now. Hopefully he improves a little bit. I think the AlphaTauri car has actually taken a step back in terms of performance.
Yeah, definitely.
Like in the pecking order. Yeah, so it's going to be harder for him to show well, but I still don't think that he's driving like somebody who, is going to get another shot.
AlphaTauri car should be like borderline in the points every race, like Gasly 9th. It's like a 6th to 9th place car on most weekends, or 6 to 10, sorry.
But wasn't it like 5th last season, pretty much?
Yeah, yeah. Gasly was always
like they were grabbing 5th places.
You would have assumed because he's the best talented driver ever. I'm just exaggerating and showing my fandom for a hot second there. But yeah, I mean, clearly Yuki was not in the gym recently because we know how much he hates the gym.
I know, it's hilarious. Didn't he say it like makes him physically ill to go to the gym? He hates it that much.
Just crazy to think about. But anyway,
that doesn't look good when your boss is the Red Bull management.
Like, why would you admit that?
Yeah, that's probably he looks fit too. Like, I don't know what he does, but the dude's also probably what, like 20?
20, 21, yeah.
Yeah, but he also looks like a baby anyway, just because that's how he looks. He's a tiny little guy.
All right, predictions?
All right. Yep, so for a good weekend, and we had Anna from Racing Incident on last week, and her predictions were actually pretty solid. For a good weekend, she had Lewis, and Lewis was just off the podium in fourth place, so solid. I would say that was a solid prediction. Yeah. You had Mick Schumacher, who finished 13th, a lap down. And I had Gasly, who finished 9th, so I don't know. That's borderline.
None of those really wow me as like an amazing pick.
Yeah, none of them nailed. We didn't nail it. Okay, so for bad weekend, Anna had Lance Stroll, which, he finished 12th, but...
Yeah, he was the last car in the lead lap, which isn't saying much, but he was still better than 7 other guys. But he's still not good.
Yeah, but three of those people retired, so it's really only 4 other guys. Okay, you had Max, and I would say absolutely
nailed
it.
That might be the best prediction I've ever made in the history of predictions.
Yeah, you may have cursed him. So any Max haters out there, you might want to start slipping some bills to host Mike to pick him every week. And I had Zhou Guan Yu, who finished 11th, and I wouldn't say that's a bad weekend. That's pretty much where he's been the first 3 races. So, yeah, I mean, for a rookie in a car that's, mid-pack, that wasn't bad. All right, and finally, surprise Q3. Anna had Vettel. Yeah, that didn't happen. You had Bottas. And I believe he actually didn't make Q3 this weekend.
Not. And it
stopped his like streak of 100 and something races of getting into Q3. Yep, he started 12th. And I had Albon, who was disqualified from qualifying and started from the back. So I would say that was wrong as well.
Yeah, yikes. Well...
somehow our picks in the Grid Rival League do a lot better than the ones we make on the podcast.
It's probably because I put more thought into the Grid Rival League than I do, like, when we do these. Like, I try to have a little more fun with these episode ones and, you know, take a swing because, you know, I've got a clawback. I did gain, I don't know, 15 or so spots up to, like, 32nd or 35th now. So I'm coming for the top again. I need to...
Oh, it's only the third race of the year. You have 20 races left.
I forgot how long the season is. Season will end. God. All right. Well, do we have any?
We're going to November this year or something like that. It's November 20th that the season ends.
Yeah, I mean, I know we'll be doing the same next year because the Vegas race is right after Thanksgiving.
Once we have FIA credentials.
I mean, paging the FIA. I'm going to try for that for COTA again this year. I'm almost positive. Well, I shouldn't say I'm definitely going to. It all depends on when I get to go visit my brother and his wife and the baby. So, or the soon-to-be baby. So I guess kind of like I have to prioritize family. But I can also tell them, like, screw off. I want to go to a race car race.
A race car race?
I want to go see the race cars.
If anyone knows Ben Suleiman, just hit him up for us. That we want.
I won't
credentials.
I'll listen to any rules he wants. The only thing I need is coffee and a little bit of food, and I won't complain all weekend. I mean, that's not true. I'll definitely find something to complain.
And we would only go to the American races. So, I mean, maybe Canada if we're allowed back.
Yeah, maybe if COVID is not upticking like it looks like it is right now.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we got to end on that note, even though it's a negative one.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see you on there. But I'm confident, you know, the Toronto IndyCar just started selling tickets, so that's a good sign. But we'll wrap it there. Everybody, we'll be back next week to preview Imola. Hope you enjoyed Anna on last week from the racing incident. And I got nothing else. Everybody, have a lovely weekend of no race cars on track.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.